Okay, boy, I couldn't be happier that Far West has chosen to honor Danny O'Keefe with its Best of the West Performer Award. We all know Danny is an accomplished writer. He has a brilliant intellect. He's a singer blessed with a rare voice. But to go into a little bit further, I'd like to read a letter that was written by one of his compatriots, partners in crime, I guess. So here we go. I'm happy to hear that the Best of the West will honor Danny O'Keefe this year. Danny has always been one of my favorite songwriters and is a magically endowed singer. His songs have accompanied me through most of my life and have instructed and uplifted me. His songwriting brings forth a kind of wisdom that when you hear, you recognize and you take as your own. I've known Danny since the late 60s or the very early 70s when I was about to make my first album. He turned me on to a friend of his, a voice coach who helped to unlock my voice, something that at the time was somewhat in question. Since then, we have shared an interest, a quest, if you will, in learning what the voice can do. But as a singer, Danny is a natural, an original, and a master. His singing glides effortlessly between the brassy tones and cadences of the old-time country blues he must surely have heard while growing up, and the unguarded vulnerability of a person whose singular story you are hearing and whose inflections are the pathway to your own feelings. Listen to his song, The Runaway, and you hear both compassion for the young runaway girl and anger at her exploiters, underscored with the responsibility for the world she has fled into and is now endangered by. That responsibility, simply felt, though not necessarily campaigned for, is the gift inside the song. Listen to the Valentine pieces and you are there, helplessly regarding the shards and tatters of your own lost chance at love. The Valentine pieces litter the floor of my room. I should go get the broom. The line, I should go get the groom, is unexpected. It's almost funny. But it's what ties your resignation to your sorrow and points the way forward. I took Danny's song, The Road, and made it a cornerstone of my album, Running on Empty, an album about touring. Without that song and its view into the life of an itinerant touring musician, the other songs on the album would not have had the impact or resonance they had. You're right about the moon, but you're wrong about the stars. Uncommon turns of phrase run all through Danny's songs. There is wisdom and economy and an immediacy that I so admire. They are clever, but I think they are more than clever. They are the product of a vibrant and uncommon intellect. Certainly the bounds of convention are skirted in songs like More Than Eva Braun and In Northern California, both songs strange enough to be covered by David Lindley. Danny's songs have been recorded by a long list of artists as diverse as Willie Nelson and Donnie Hathaway. And by the way, of those writers who have had a song recorded by Elvis Presley, how many have sat down and written a song by Bob Dylan? Written a song with Bob Dylan, sorry. Danny's most famous song may be Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues, which I like a lot, especially the line, you play too long, you lose your life. But I am really drawn to some of his lesser known songs, like Looking Glass and Chief Joseph about the Nez Perce, which I can't seem to find now on iTunes or on any other sites. Did I dream these songs? I've heard them. I heard them live from Danny, I guess. Has Danny not recorded them yet? At any rate, one is not always given the greatest recognition for one's greatest work. And not everything of Danny O'Keefe's is represented on iTunes, but that's why there are vinyl stores. Danny once offered me his copy of the book, The Origins of Consciousness and the Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind by Julian James. I have to admit that I didn't get very far with it before I experienced the primal urge to get up and make a sandwich. I don't think intellect is an essential component of a good song. It does happen to grace most of my favorite songs, though, in one way or another, and even love for songs like Louie Louie or 96 Tears is mostly rooted in the intellectual's disdain for the intellect. Danny O'Keefe's song, Celebrate Human Nature in All Its Profusion, Angst and Confusion, Love and Redemption, Loss, Discovery, Sorrow, Hilarity, and the Continuing Search for Our Place in the World. It has been a privilege to be in the world and on that search at the same time with Danny O'Keefe. Signed, Jackson Brown, October 12, 2016, on a bus from Cheyenne, Wyoming to Boise, Idaho. Okay, now to present the award to Danny, I'd like to introduce Neil Scott. Neil is a producer and radio host at iHeartMedia. He hosts a mighty nightly radio talk show. And apologies to Rich also. As long as I'm making a mistake, I might as well correct it at the same time. My apologies. And he's recently started a new project, the Songwriter Sessions, Singers, Stories, and Songs. Please welcome Neil Scott.
Hi, everybody. My name is Neil Scott. I belong to a 12-step group for talk show hosts called On and On and On and On and On and On. But I will try to keep my remarks brief. Some 40 years ago, I was a rock and roll music disc jockey in Southern California, back when commercial radio was freeform and DJs played what they liked without the confines of a tight playlist. First time I heard Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues, man, I was knocked out. Knocked out by the lyrics, the depth, the guitar, the hook, and the haunting melody. I wanted more, and I got more, and so did you. Never in a million years could I have imagined some 45 years later presenting such a prestigious music award to Danny O'Keefe. Now, there are some who, unfortunately, only know Danny for the top 10 hit about Charlie. They have missed the boat. They've missed the musical magic, the magic of an incredible artist who has journeyed through four decades of deeply personal music. For those of you who are baseball fans, Danny O'Keefe would be a five-tool player. The lyrics, the guitar, the voice, the presence, and the passion. And it's been that passion that has driven Danny to make a difference in the world, not just in the music community, but in the larger community in which we are all residents. He has been an untiring advocate for social justice. His social conscience is driven deeply by a strong moral compass. He started the Songbird Foundation, inviting the world to listen to the songbirds, drawing attention to the disappearing rainforests in Latin America. He reminds us that we must examine our own consumption patterns, because all of our environmental problems eventually come back to consumption issues. He's written about the Native Americans, their experience, the lives of the whales, and other aspects of social justice. Danny O'Keefe is one of a kind. Today, we salute Danny, a guy who paints pictures with his life, his actions, and his music. His songs have not only been sung by countless music legends, they have been embraced, and they have also been understood. Check his catalog. Check his musical roadmap. It'll take you places you have never been. A little-known fact about Danny is that Bob Dylan asked Danny to co-write a song with him. Check out Well, Well, Well. Danny's vision is broad and his insights run deep. I'd like to share some words of congratulations and respect from one of America's most iconic writers, the great Tom Robbins, who lives not far from here up in Laconia, Washington. Tom had hoped to be here to honor Danny in person, but he's spending the weekend with his two-year-old grandson. He asked me to share the following. I love singer-songwriters. They have often and significantly illuminated my life, although frankly, even the most talented of them can prove less than well-educated. Some tend, for example, to believe that the Gettysburg Address to be the house number of Abe Lincoln's Jewish aunt. While others think Picasso is a Frenchified flavor of ice cream that no working class hero would ever think of eating. Danny O'Keefe is a rare and luminous exception. His guitar seems to wordlessly echo even his most deceptively profound sentiments. Because brain and heart coexist as equal partners in his artistic vision, Danny has led listeners to both walk in the bloodied moccasins of the victims of America's genocide, and to nod with sympathetic smiles as they dance past the bar stool where old good time Charlie feeds his blues. Ever acknowledging that dark forces are often at play in our lives, Danny O'Keefe undercuts them with life-affirming humor and stylistic grace. A public celebration of his remarkable career, of this remarkable man and his music, has long been overdue. Loud cheers, sincerely, Tom Robbins. I have only met Danny a few times over the years, but I have listened and I have watched from afar. His music has played a significant part in my life for well over half of my adult years. It is a tremendous, tremendous honor, and it is with profound respect that on behalf of Far West that I present the prestigious Best of the West Award to the very best of the West, Mr. Danny O'Keefe.
Says I better be damn good.
Song takes you far. You write about the moon. You dream about the stars. Blues in old motel rooms. Girls in daddy's cars. You sing about the nights. Laugh about the scars. Coffee in the mornings. Cocaine all night long. On a graveyard shift, buried in a song. Phone calls long distance, tell you how you've been. You'll forget about the losses, you'll exaggerate the wins. And when you stop to let them know you got it down, just another town along the road. The ladies come to see you if your name still rings a bell. They get you down to nothing and they say they knew you well. So you tell them you'll remember, but they know it's just a game. And along the road their faces all begin to look the same. When you stop to let them know you got it down, it's just another town along the road. isn't for the money, and it's only for a while. You talk about the rooms you roll away the mice. Gamblers in the new, clinging to guitars. You write about the moon, but you're wrong about the stars. And when you stop to let them know you got it down, it's just another town. Just another town. Just another town along the road.
Thank you. Joel Tepp.
The road I'm on started in Spokane, Washington, in 1943. We were still at war, and everything was rationed, including tricycles. One of my earliest memories was my parents buying me a record player and a Burl Ives album. Go Tell Aunt Rhody, The Grey Goose, The Blue Tail Fly, were the underpinning of my love for music that would eventually lead me to the guitar. I grew up in the Columbia River town of Wenatchee. My father collected early jazz recordings, and the music was a constant presence in our house. I wanted a guitar from the time I was 7 or so, but for some reason my parents didn't understand and wanted me to play clarinet and hopefully saxophone one day. I wanted to be a singing cowboy. Years later, at 19, the need and longing to sing led me to my first guitar, paid for with money loaned to me by the young woman who would, in a few short months, become my wife. Money that she had earned packing cherries. I think she saw the look in my eyes when I would go into the music store to longingly gaze at the guitar, a Gibson LG3. I was nervous the first time she let me in the back of her daddy's old car, both wishing that we had a romance, 'cause we'd never been quite that far. First time I promised forever to honor to love and obey. An old matrimonial soldier said, son, it don't always work out that way. But the first time's the one you remember, no matter how good it gets. People tell you practice makes perfect, but the first time is one time no one forgets. I can still taste that first shot of whiskey, and the first time I got really high, said to myself, this is living. Next day, I thought I'd die. And I remember the first time she left me, waking up in a cold, empty bed. First time I'd ever been speechless with so much we
wished I'd said. First time's home, you remember. No matter how good it is, people tell you practice makes perfect. But the first time is one time no one forgets. Life's made up of surprises, no telling what fortune may bring. As long as we keep moving forward, there's a first time for everything. And the first time you become a believer, and I hope there's a heaven above, is when death lays a hand on the shoulder of someone to really have loved. As I roll on down life's highway, driven by hunger and thirst, I keep telling myself to remember, keep every time like the first. It's the first time so you remember. No matter how good it is, people tell you practice makes perfect. But the first time is one time no one forgets. First time's home, you remember. No matter how good it gets, people tell you practice makes perfect. Yes, the first time is one time no one forgets.
Love leads us down the road by our heartstrings. We learn to ease the pain and celebrate the joys with song. I began riding seriously after a motorcycle accident in 1965 that left me unable to do much else. By 1967, I and my wife and my baby girl had moved from Wenatchee to Seattle, and I began to record for a small local label. I wasn't particularly successful, but I also worked as a road manager for Concerts West, a local concert production company. And I took bands on the road. Sir Douglas Quintet, Them with Van Morrison, the Knickerbockers and others. But I also got to work the concerts where I saw the Stones, the Who, the Yardbirds with Jeff Beck, and Jimi Hendrix. I even got to perform on the revolving stage in the Seattle Coliseum with a band thrown together of musical friends. In 1968, Terry Melcher, who had produced the Beach Boys and the Byrds, at the suggestion of friends at Concerts West, flew me down to California to see if I would fit on the new label he was starting. I was a provincial who had very little idea of the scene, but I played my songs for Terry and his associates, and they would take me with them to parties where I'd hug the wall and be intimidated by all the hipsters. They decided to pass on me as an artist, but they helped to open my eyes. As an aside, the place that Terry Melcher was living at the time would be the same place where the Manson family would kill Sharon Tate and friends 6 months or so later. It was during this period that I wrote Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues. We were as poor as mice, living the illustrious hippie life. My friends in a local band, the Daily Flash, were heading to L.A. to make a big-time recording, and I wanted to go with them. In 1969, I was staying with one of the band members, and as it seemed, the Daily Flash was falling apart. He and I would go to visit the managers, Green and Stone, in the afternoons to hang out with Charlie Green, one of the great characters of the period. He'd help discover and sign Sonny and Cher, Iron Butterfly, Buffalo Springfield, Dr. John, and others to Atlantic Records, so he had some clout there. One evening, as he was talking to someone on the phone, he motioned to me to get my guitar out, saying, "Ahmet, you got to hear this song this kid wrote for me." I, of course, hadn't known him when I wrote the song, but such is the stuff of Hollywood. I got out my guitar and played Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues and steel guitar into the phone for the stranger at the other end. It turned out that it was Ahmet Erdogan, president of Atlantic Records and one of the great music men. He came the next day to hear a band that didn't exist, but that we were trying to put together if we could get him to sign us. Promises, promises. The band didn't make it, and I went back home to Seattle. Several weeks later, I took a wild chance and called Ahmet at Atlantic, and surprisingly, he took my call. He asked me to send him a demo tape, which I recorded on a borrowed mono Webcore recorder. Bare bones. After a week or so, I called him back, and again, he took my call. He said, "I didn't hear much on the tape you sent." I said, "You heard the two songs I played for you over the phone in Charlie Green's office." He asked an associate who agreed that he had liked those two songs. He came back on the phone and said, "Okay, what do you want to do?" "What did I want to do? I wanted to make a record for Atlantic." A man of his words. We went to the sleepy little Alabama town of Muscle Shoals, and I got to record with some of the best session players the music business has known before they were called the Swampers. The recording that came out of those sessions and sessions in L.A. wasn't very successful, but I was officially on the road. The next year, the legendary producer Arif Mardin took me to Memphis, and we cut the hit version of Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues at Chips Moman's American Studio with the Memphis Boys.
Everybody's gone away. In this time they're born still. Not a soul I know around. Everybody's leaving town. Some call it fret, some call it play. Sunshine in the rain. Send this town and waste your time. I guess that love is wasting time. Some got a win, some got a lose. Good time, Charlie's got the blues. Around you
some got to lose. Good time and Charlie's got the blues. Good time and Charlie's got the blues. Good time, Charlie's got the blues.
Julie sounded pretty good today. The 70s were heady and parlous times, and in reflection, I'm amazed I survived. Many mistakes were made, but life was a rich mosaic of people and music. I had played for a while in the Minneapolis folk scene in the early 60s, and players like Dave Ray and Tony Glover and John Kerner were inspiring, not only for their skill, but their dedication to their music. I worked on weekdays in a coffee house called the Coffee Break. Dave Ray and Tony Glover would play there on weekends and tear the place up. It was during this time that the owner of the coffee house brought the legendary guitar player, singer, icon, I don't know, so many words would apply to him, the Reverend Gary Davis, to play. As I was being displaced by the great man, and because I had a car that ran, I was elected to be his roadie for a week. It was an honor beyond understanding at the time. I wasn't skilled enough to learn what he was doing, but the impression was invaluable. I'd sit on the couch next to him and listen to him play for hours. He was quite extraordinary. And for Reverend, he had some of the dirtiest songs I've ever heard. I didn't play particularly well, but I had the brass of youth. I decided that I needed to go to New York to see what it was all about. A player from the Minneapolis scene was making his way under his new name, so I thought I'd see what I could do. Not much, as it turned out. But each mile along the road is a lesson in life. Years later, Bob Dylan signed me to his company as a writer. This was in the 90s, and I had been working as a songwriter for hire for a couple of years. One day, the woman who ran Bob's publishing company called and said, "I have a demo of Bob's that he wondered if you could write some lyrics to." Huh? The irony wasn't lost on me. She sent the cassette tape, and there wasn't much on it, but I thought, I'll never get another chance to write a song with Bob Dylan, so I tore into it. Bob had uttered only two words on the demo. Well. Well. But I decided those were intentional. So I added another well, and I made it a song about groundwater. Not many years later, the fouling of groundwater by fracking companies made the song seem prescient. It was recorded by Maria Muldaur and Mavis Staples, by Ben Harper and the Blind Boys of Alabama, David Lindley and others. But I never did hear from Bob.
Well.
man sells us back our water like we're fish on his land. Trying to turn our love blood into his wine. Dig your hole in the ground all the way down to hell. Till there ain't no more water and no well. Dig a little deeper in the well, well,
Fortune smiled on me in 1972 when Good Time Charlie's Got the Blues became a top 10 hit. Over the years, it's become a standard of sorts and has been recorded by some of my favorite artists, Elvis Presley, Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Jerry Lee Lewis, and others. The great blessing of writing songs is that there's always the possibility that someone else will record them. I've been fortunate enough to have my songs recorded by Jackson Browne, Judy Collins, Alison Krauss, and other artists for whom I have had and have great respect, including Molly O'Brien. It's an honor when someone you admire finds something of themselves in one of your songs. There's a quote from the writer Barry Lopez that has stayed with me for some time. Everything is held together with story. That's all that's holding us together. Stories and compassion. We have entered and are living through one of the strangest periods in American history. While we often feel powerless to make positive changes in the political atmosphere, we do have a great ally on our side, our songs. With songs, we have the power to change minds and open hearts. Especially our own. Our songs are both gifts and tools. We come from a long tradition of writers and singers who have spoken their minds and hearts through songs, occasionally at some risk to themselves and their careers. That is what we are called on to do. Dare to speak our minds and our hearts through song. Revealing ourselves and the human condition with our music is our blessing and our task. Our songs are the stories we tell ourselves and others. As they are guided by compassion and courage, they empower us to go deeper into ourselves and the human condition. As we refine ourselves through our art and craft, we continue to make a path for others to follow along the road. Thanks, Steve and Mark and everybody at Far West. your kindness. I want to thank all of you. It's a, not only a great honor, but a great pleasure to be here today. I got a workshop at 2:30. Hope you come. See you somewhere down the road. There's a storm coming. And it's gonna bring with it more than rain. Be ready. Joel Tapp. Thank you all so much. It's a pleasure.